You'll open your Bible to page 260. I've got a lot of stuff here today, but I think I have it organized to do it in our little bit of time. Now, here's the deal. All of us, whether we realize it or not, we have some level of strength in our lives. Now, you may not feel like it sometimes, but I was thinking about that. Like, for example, we have physical strength. Obviously, you're here. I'm here. We have enough physical strength. I know people, you as well, that don't have the physical strength to even come to church or do anything. Well, we do to some degree or another. We have physical strength. We have spiritual strength. We have mental strength. Most in the room, maybe not as good as it once was, but really now. And we have emotional strength. And like, it's not all the same. Like, I may have more in one of those areas than you. You may have more in one than somebody else, me, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, we all do have areas of strength in our life. And maybe we wish some area was stronger than the other, whatever it might be. But be that as it may, that is just how it is. Now, here's the good news, though. We already have that. We already have that. But there is a strength available to all of God's children beyond our own strength. Now, I believe the Bible teaches that. I believe that in my own experience in life. And God promises us. In fact, the very last words Jesus spoke before he ascended back into heaven, you remember those words? He said, "You shall receive power," that is strength, "when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." Now, you know, we read that verse. It's in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. That was not just for first century Christians. That's for all of God's children. I believe that. God says, "You shall receive power." In other words, when we receive the gift of Christ into our life, you know, well, I talked about Sunday. We always talk about give your life to Christ. Well, that's sweet to say, but that's not the gospel. Christ gives his life to us. And what we do, we receive his life. And when we receive his life, we receive the Holy Spirit. And then when we have the Holy Spirit within us, he gives us a power in addition to the power that we had before we ever received Christ. Just because a person is not a Christian does not mean they don't have any physical strength. It doesn't mean they don't have any mental or emotional or whatever. They do, but they don't have any spiritual strength until they receive the life of Christ in them. And it's just a glorious, wonderful thing to see. Now, to me, it's very, very exciting when I see God's strength in action in the lives of people. And you see it all the time. We all do. You just see people and you say, you know what? There's an example of God's strength in action in the life of that person. Now, that's exciting, but I'll tell you what's more exciting than that is when we experience God's strength and action in our own life. And that's good. In fact, it's better than good. And today I want us to look in the book of 1 Samuel at what I would say to be, I hate to always say something, this is my favorite, you know. It sure be on my list of favorites of Bible stories. It's a story about David and the giant Goliath. That's just all my life. That's just been one of my favorite stories. And, I've been where that battle took place, the Valley of Elah. In fact, I have some stones, and I can't find them. When we made this last move, they're somewhere here. And I'm on search for them, and I will show them to you. I don't have the stone that hit Goliath, but I do have some stones that I did get from the Valley of Elah. And a sweet lady who was on that trip picked up 5 stones and put them in this beautiful little box with a glass front. And I had it in my office when it used to be right out that door. And then when that changed, somewhere it went away. Now, I was at John's last night, and I told him, I can't find my case for my 5 stones. And he said, "Well, I have 5 stones from Valley of Elah." He took me in his study. He said, "Here they are." And I said, "Could I have those for tomorrow?" He said, "No." So I'm up here, vision. I have no visual aids. Just imagine it. But anyway, this is one of my very, very favorite stories. And the reason it is because we see God's strength in action in the story of David and Goliath. And let me tell you how, you say, what do you mean God's strength in action? What do you see? Well, here's what you see. Listen carefully. When you see a person, or when you're experiencing God's strength in action, you will always see courage, you'll always see faith, you'll always see an inner calmness, and you'll always see extra physical energy and strength. You'll see those four things. And I even saw in our moment, mentioned a moment ago, I saw this very thing yesterday. A person that humanly, there's no way in the world they could have had the courage and the faith and the inner calmness and the energy level that I saw yesterday. Apart from, it's just about God's strength. Now, in 1 Samuel, you have your Bible open to 1 Samuel. Let me just say a quick word about the books 1 and 2 Samuel. They may not be books you maybe read a lot, but really they're great books. Actually, 1 and 2 Samuel, both books are about three people. If you just know that, you know what these books are about. Anywhere you turn in 1 or 2 Samuel, you're going to be reading about these three people. You're going to read about Samuel. That's books named. But, he was the last judge. You're going to read about King Saul. He was the first king of Israel. Then you're going to read about David. And, of course, he succeeded Saul. So if you just remember that, when somebody says, hey, open your Bible to 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you know one thing, they're about to read a Bible scripture about either Samuel or Saul or David. That's who is in these books, these two books. Now, and in David, in this story, look today, he had this strength in action. But interesting, I'll show you the verse. He did, but old King Saul and all Israel did not. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 17, if you look down in verse number 11, well, what's happened? Go back in verse 8. This old giant stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. Now he's about to make a deal. This is the giant talking. He said, if he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we, the Philistines, will be your servants. But if I, the giant Goliath, prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel to this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Well, that's the deal. That's the challenge. In verse 11, I'll show you a good verse where you see a bunch of people that don't have God's strength in action. It says, Saul and all Israel heard these words, when they did, of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Like greatly afraid is worse than just being afraid. They were scared to death. Well, they did not have God's strength in them. You see no courage. You see no faith. You see no inner calmness. You see no extra energy. None. Well, not so with David. Now, here's the question. As I read, and we don't have time to read this big old long story, but we'll look at some verses quickly. But like, how can you have God's strength in action in your life? You already have human strength, whatever it is, however much it is. But you can have more. You can have God's strength. It's available. Well, what must you do? Well, here's the first thing. You must first of all know that God is with you whatever you face. Boy, that's worth, if that's all we did today, that's good. It's just, if I can just remember that I have God with me whatever I face. Doesn't make what it is. God's with me. And, Jesus himself promised. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, we know these verses, but I'm not sure what we do with these things that we know. The Bible tells, God himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, David believed with all of his heart that God was with him no matter what he faced. Now, you're in 1 Samuel 17. Look over in verse 45. Look wherever that is. Look over in verse 45. And here's what David said to the Philistine. He said, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, now this is David talking to the giant. this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'll take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47, he said, then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. That's one of the great statements in the whole Bible. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into his hands. So, you know, David just believed that he had God with him. Now, you know, as I think about that, I think we just be mentally, we all believe that. We really do. Religiously, I think everybody in this room believes God's with us. I mean, we can't see him, but we believe he's with us. So I don't think that's our, I think our problem is practically. You know, mentally I believe that. Religiously I believe that. Theologically I believe that. But what good's any of that if it doesn't plug into me somewhere? So practically, now how can we practically have God with us? Well, I think the main way is with his word. This is how God is always with us. And so whatever we face, we know we have God with us. Because why? Well, because we have his word. That word sometimes comforts us, sometimes directs us, sometimes convicts us, challenges, whatever it may be. The fact of the matter is, no matter where I am, no matter where you are, no matter what you face, you have God with you in the fact that you have his word. Now, you may not always have the Bible in hand. That's why we must memorize certain Bible verses. We can have them with us even when we do not have Bible in hand. You know, one of the things that I do my best to do and is I get a little sheet on the email about, oh, before the church office closes every day. And, of course, I get it on my phone if I'm somewhere else, it all goes the same place. But it tells me who's having surgery the following day. So, like, I think yesterday I had three. And so sometime that afternoon, that night, I call. I've done this for years. Or I try to call. I may wind up talking to an answer machine, but I normally get the people. I just call the people and say, well, I see you're having surgery tomorrow morning, and I'll find out a little bit more about it if I can. And I say, I just want to let you know I'm praying for you, and I want to pray with you right now. And many of the times, not all the times, but many of the times, I give them a verse. I say, now, look, I want to give you a verse that I want to encourage you. I always say, now, what translation of Bible are you going to read out of? And they tell me. And I said, well, I'm going to give you a verse that I memorized in the NIV. It's good in the New King James, New American Standard. But this verse in NIV is so very good. Do you have something you can write it down? I've never had anybody say no to that deal. And they write it down. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, I give them Psalm 16, verse 8. Now, this is for people going to have surgery the next day, or they're going to begin chemo the next day. So they're on my list. I say, okay, now here's what I want you to do. Write that verse down. It's a very short verse. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. And I say to them, now, I want you to memorize the verse. It's short. And tomorrow, when you go to your surgery, and they're rolling you down the hall, and you're fearful, I want you to just say that verse over and over and over and over and over. I text this morning a precious lady in our church who today went to meet her oncologist to see what's next. This was her first time to meet the oncologist. And I just text this, well, less than an hour ago, I just text to her, remember Psalm 16:8. Dr. Edwin, that's all I said. Like a bullet. I heard my little phone go, beep. You know how those things go. If I could figure out how to shut that thing off, I'd do it. Beep. Beep. Dottie, every time it does, your phone did something, I say, I heard it, Dottie. Beep. It did it again. I don't know if the phone or Dottie is about to, but anyway, I have to leave it alone. She said, got it. Got it. I'm saying this. We just need to understand God's with us wherever we go. And I want to encourage you, and it's not the only verse, but boy, listen, when we get out here in certain things in life, just to be able to remember the verse and just say it over and over and over, say, God, you know, I'm going to keep my eyes on you. And with you at my right hand, I'll not be shaken. I'm amazed how God can be so real to us, whatever we're going through. Well, what else must we do? Well, number two, know that God is bigger than any Goliath that you face. Now look back, you're in chapter 17, look back in verse 4, because old David faced him, a pretty big Goliath here. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 4, the Bible says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, a span's 9 inches, 6 cubits, 9 feet. So this guy's 9 feet, 9 inches tall. That's he'd get him a basketball scholarship in a hurry. And not only that, look down in verse 5. He had him a coat. Now, how would you like to wear this? He had him a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat that weighed 5,000 shekels. That's 125 pounds. You know, I have one ultra suede coat. I have two. One's just paper light. The other one, Goliath needs it. I never wear that thing. It's just, I can't even move in the thing. It's a really nice coat. But, I mean, 125-pound coat, this guy. And then down in verse 7, says the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam and his iron spearhead. Now, just the head on this spear weighed 600 shekels. That's 15 pounds. That doesn't sound like much. We were in the gym last night trying to do whatever we're trying to do. And one of the things I was doing, I was working Dottie. She wanted to keep her bones, you know, good. And I was saying, we use these machines and all. I said, now we use some of these free weights. And one of the things we do, you pick up, I had her doing a 5 pound in both hands. I had a 10 pound, big strong guy like I am. But what we were doing, you'd raise your arm up like that. I had this 10 pound deal. And I mean, you can lift the 10-pound deal, but I tell you, you hold that thing out there about 60 seconds, and you think, well, I might need to go back to her 5-pound, you know. But she was doing that, you know, and as we were doing that last night in the gym, I was just thinking, hey, I mean, this guy's so big and strong, he had him a spear, and just the head of the thing weighed 15 pounds. His coat weighed 125 pounds, and you know, he's just so much bigger. But David saw God is bigger than the Goliath. If you look over in verse 47, we read a while ago, it said, for all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will save you into his hands. Now, you know, live long enough, and we've all done it, we're going to just face some Goliaths. We all face Goliaths. Some of you may be facing one now. Most of our Goliaths aren't big Goliaths. Now, when you face them, they seem big, but I mean, like, I don't, you know, I think what people are going through today, like, Jimmy's going down this afternoon to see somebody that's having an 8-hour cancer surgery today. That's another part. 8 hours. I just prayed with her husband right before I came in this room. Now they've got them a 9-foot, 9-inch Goliath down there. But, you know, the little Goliaths in life, you and I can pretty well, in our own strength, handle most of our little Goliaths. Hear me, we will handle them better and more wisely with God. Could I have an amen to that? But we can. We have Goliaths all the time. But now when we get to these big Goliaths, that's a horse of another color. Yesterday, I saw God's strength in action in my office in such a marvelous way. There's this precious, precious family, husband, wife, and have children. They're actually, I won't go into all the details, they're kin to the Herwicks. Josh married this girl's sister. And I'm going to get lost with what I'm trying to tell, giving you all that, and that didn't matter. But they live up above Dallas. But long story short, this lady, they have children. She's been through more battle with cancer. It's just unbelievable. And Jimmy brought her down one time, a long time ago, and I got to know her and we prayed with her. And since that time, we've communicated a lot. And every time she comes down to MD Anderson for either exam or another surgery, she will text me and say, we're going to be there. Can I come by? And we pray together. Well, today she's going through. In fact, she's in it right now. She's going through another surgery. And so she had texts me ahead of time. I text her Bible verses. Sometimes she's in my phone. I'll text her, Angie, you know, I was thinking about you. I pray for her every morning. She's on my daily prayer list. Every morning I pray for Angie. But she's there yesterday. And, you know, she came, her husband Todd, and her mother was with her yesterday. And they came in my office and we prayed. But here's what I saw. I saw what I'm talking about today. I saw God's strength in action. Here she was yesterday going through surgery now again today. She had courage. She had faith. She had her inner calmness. And she actually had some strength even in her situation. And I thought, you know, I'm going to be trying to talk about this tomorrow, and I have it right here in my office. And you see it all the time out there. Some of you are that. It's just, it's a real deal. Folks, I'm not just up here talking about something because it's Tuesday Bible lunch and I just got to talk about something. I'm telling you, the most exciting thing to me, other than being saved, is to have God's strength in my life, in action, at work. And then when I face these Goliaths, then it works out good. Let me quickly, I have 2 minutes to do it, and I'll just do it. Third thing you do to experience God's strength in action, you listen to what God says rather than what the negative voices say. Now, if I had time, I'd show you the verses. But you remember his older brother made fun of him, you know, when he came down to check him out. King Saul kind of mocked him because he was just a young kid. Other people, the Bible tells us in this 17th chapter, you know, they likewise made fun of him. I want to encourage you, don't let negative voices influence you, period. You listen to God. If you listen to negative voices, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You'll lose your courage. You'll lose your faith. You'll have no inner calmness. And you'll actually find your physical strength sapped. And then on top of that, if you listen to negative voices enough, I just believe this. Now, I don't have a Bible verse I can prove this, but I believe this. You'll be just like them. Birds of a feather flock together. They really do. And so, look, you say, well, we got to love all people. We have to love them all. We don't have to eat hamburgers with them. Yeah, you know. I'm serious. There are just so many negative voices. And, many times when people are negative, I think, I know them and they're good people. They don't mean to be that way. They just, something spiritual just not clicking for them right now. The battle is the Lord's. But the deal is, I can't control other people, nor can you. All you can control is you. And if you'll just believe that God is with you wherever you go and whatever you face, I'm going to tell you what, you'll listen to His voice. And when you listen to His voice, there's not a negative word in the whole deal. And Father God, thank You today that whatever we encounter in life, whatever we go through in life, we can actually experience Your strength in action. Now, God, I thank You. Yesterday, I saw it in my office. I thought, Mama, this stuff the Bible says works. She's proof of that. I asked permission yesterday. I said, can I please use you tomorrow in my Bible study? But it wasn't just yesterday. I've watched this whole deal with her. And even back and forth as we text, what she says. It's God's strength in action. Father God, I pray Your strength will be in action in all of our lives. When we're not facing Goliaths, yes. But when we face Goliaths, yes also. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.